Sex with Strangers, along with guests Fine Times and The Never Surprise, will be playing at the Media Club on January 24th. Catch this Vancouver band with a soft spot for metal and 60s ballads. Tickets $10 in advance at hipcitymusic.ca, sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, Baru Latino Restaurante, The Bike Kitchen, Cove, Dentry's Pub, Displace Hatchery, Limelight, The Eatery, Fresh is Best Salsa, Gargoyles, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. It is Friday at 9 p.m., in Scotland, 1 p.m. here in local Vancouver time. And you are tuned into Skulls Hall with your host, Brian McDonald. And today is a very special day. But before we get into that, I want to just make a couple of announcements. The first one is, today is election day for the Student Council. And, well, today is the last day for it. And if you have not voted yet, you have until 5 p.m. To do so. I kind of encourage you guys to go out there and do that. I mean, if you are students at UBC, and I'm hoping that many of you out there are, it is an important part of being a student. And there are quite a few issues up this year. They're tallying votes, for example, as for one issue for the UBC travel passes. And if they don't get enough, they're going to disappear. And the price of commuting for students will... so go somewhere between triple and quintuple what it is now. So let's get a few votes in before that. The second thing is, next Friday, February 1st, from 1 to 3 p.m., there's going to be a lovely teach-in at the Longhouse, and CITR 101.9 FM will be covering it. So Skulls Hall will return on the air 2 weeks from today after that. And so we will see you in 2 weeks after that. And today is a very special day. It is a day when you break out your Scottish accents and you start talking like you're from the movie Brave. And why would you want to be doing that, laddie? Well, it's quite simple. Today is the birthday of Sir Robert Burns. Today is the birthday of Robert Burns. He is the National Poet of Scotland. And my name being what it is, Brian McDonald, I am of that extraction, ethnically. And it is the one day when I get to practice my ethnic heritage in an interesting and cool way. And, it, you know, Robert Burns did play an important part. I mean, his poems are still used to this very day. Auld Lang Syne is one of his, you know, may old acquaintance be forgot. That poem's got an interesting history. In Japan, they use the instrumental version of that. Da, 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 da. They use that to signal when shopping malls and museums and other public spaces are closing for the day, as sort of a signal that things are coming to a close and customers will have to soon leave. Which is an interesting use of a poem that is talking about friendships and times gone by. But that's where it's come. And so because today is Robbie Burns Day, here on Skulls Hall, we are going to have a poet as our very special guest. And today's poet is somebody that I think many in the Vancouver area might know if they follow poetry circles, Kedrick James, who has been working, doing all kinds of wonderful and lovely poems for quite some time in the local area. And he was graceful enough to sit down and share a ton of stuff with us here on Skulls Hall. And so, coming up in just a moment, we're going to have our very own exclusive interview with Kedrick James.
Want to know what's up at UBC?
So, you are tuned in to see
Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
So, you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and we are here with Dr. Kedrick James. Hello.
Hi. Nice to see you, Brian. Congratulations on the show. Really happy it's going.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, you were part of the inspiration for that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. So, for everyone listening, who is Dr. Kedrick James, the enigmatic figure?
I'm a poet by nature and by trade at times. Now feels like many years. I'm a bit eclectic in my interests and my way of going about life, but I have one overriding, cohering feature to me, and that is I love poetry. It's a driving force and motivator, and I like to see poetry happen in all the different media. And so my background, I have produced poetry for TV, like you. I've done poetry for radio and, you know, published poetry. One time edited a small chapbook in the Saturday Review of the Vancouver Sun and that kind of thing, so newspapers and books and magazines. Early on, I worked with a couple colleagues on a magazine called Anerka, a magazine of experimental poetics, which we distributed all over North America to many of our literary heroes, and I took the opportunity to go and visit with them, and so spent time with some of the, you know, greats of the American beats and that kind of thing, Ginsberg and Burroughs and Waldman, and of course the Canadians as well, very influenced by the Four Horsemen and some First Nations poets. Jeanette Armstrong is a very good friend and big influence on me. So I really try to enjoy life as a poet. Oh, you know, and I'll also suffer as a poet because it has its downsides, especially if we talk economics, but let's not do that.
Yes. Speaking of, we actually met under very different circumstances, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Tell me about it. Kedrick James is a professor in the Language and Literacy Education Department at UBC, and one of the people who mentored me during my Bachelor of Education degree.
So I feel that education is a really important place for poets. I think we need more poets in education, and that's because of a love and deep insight into language and the way it works. I would like to wax eloquent about the value of rhetoric, which is kind of a bad word by now. It has all these negative connotations, but I was one of the original things that you studied, music and rhetoric and grammar, or math, were your topics, and I think that to a degree, the love of language, the love of crafted expression, was as much a science as an art at one point, and I think that education really deserves to have poetry infuse it so that kids' imaginations, what is poetry? It's unleashing of imagination through language, and I think that's central to the educational project.
I see. So where does this drive come from? How did you end up becoming an educator and a poet?
I think they just go hand in hand. I was, many years ago now, running a gallery called the Church of Pointless Hysteria in the downtown East Side, and just enjoying being among a great, thriving arts community, looking at the many different benefits that come from people in a very creative headspace helping and healing the world around them, because it adds just a positive energy to the world, and we are so desperately in need of positive energy. And so at the same time, I was thinking, gee, you know, this has a lot in common with teaching and working with younger people. And so I kind of got on that bandwagon at that time, late 1990s.
Well, what are you working on now?
I'm very excited. I'm working on a Canada Council grant-funded project called Fluke Audio, Antics of a Cultural Recycler. Cultural recycling is one of the really important things to me because I believe information is like an environment. And in our current technology-saturated world, the challenges for knowing how to manage and cope with all this information, what we should keep, are major challenges for the next generation. And so I'm studying the use of sometimes obsolete or discarded media, especially audio media, and bringing it together, taking bits and pieces of it. I imagine it as a narrative of a post-apocalyptic treasure hunter exploring the ruins of a world, finding fragments and trying to put them together into some kind of meaning and sort of arrive at the underlying code of the society which is now gone. And so It explores the use of all these different kind of cultural materials that I find, one-off recordings in, you know, either the waste stream itself or in thrift stores and what have you. And I bring it together to make poetry and music. I've given you a recording of a song that was produced with my band called The Emetics. It's a duo that I work on with a fellow named Don Clossum. And this particular song is using all these different sampled sources and some improvised vocalizing on top of it. I find that a large part of my work as well is focused on improvised poetry and improvised music. The idea of cultural recycling I explore in three or four different media. So I do the same thing with visual art. I take, and you can see some examples on the walls around you.
Might be a bit hard for our listeners to see, but they're there.
They are there, and they're prints. And my prints, I take hundreds of images that are just, you know, floating around in the endless piles of information online, photographic images. And I take that which was not the intended viewpoint of the photographer. It's the accidental information that collects. And I'm interested in how that residual information composites on top of one another. So I like slicing very thin layers of, say, prosciutto or something. It's these tiny layers that I collage on top of each other and, you know, come up with graphic images. You can see them on my website, which is www.kedrickjames.net. And so there's some samples of that kind of work. Now, for the visual art, I have a show coming up from the 4th to the 26th of February, and it's in the Scotia Creek Gallery in Whistler. So it's an art show with two other people, one who did her PhD here in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at UBC. Her name is Miriam Morayeri, and she's been helping to put all this together. Her husband is a visual artist. Another, Sarah Northcott, another painter and mixed media artist. And so I will be, my work will be there using printmaking and the same photo montage technique. So that's the graphic art side of it. I also do this with music, where I've been describing to you collecting all these different resources, sampling them, and then playing them in conversation. So you're never sure what the sound is going to sound like when you make it, because you're sampling a bunch of stuff and then playing it as if those were the raw materials of a musical conversation. So, and it's quite exciting. I love doing that. It's a very regular practice of mine, and sometimes we play shows live doing that too. And the final way, of course, is with poetry. And, or rather, not with poetry, but with text. So I will gather text. And one of my long projects, and in fact, the focus, in some ways, the focus of my PhD dissertation was on collecting spam. And, you know, many people don't know, because their spam filters do such a good job of shielding them from the literally tens of thousands of spam emails that would come to them every week, full of cut-up text that robotic, like net robots, so spam bots, go around, collect all these bits of speech, composite them all together, and try and send them to you so that spam filters won't recognize them and boot the message off. Well, I turned all the spam filters off, created a bunch of email accounts, and started collecting spam. And I collected thousands and thousands and thousands of these, with these quite long amounts of text used to get past spam filters. And then I took all of those and I converted them into poetry. So I basically reordered them and used various procedural poetic techniques. And a procedural poetic is where you set a series of constraints to the writing exercise. And then you take some raw material, some resources, in this case text from spam email, and then process them and come up with poems. And the interesting thing is, you wouldn't think that that reaches in and finds those deep poetic moments of insight and inspiration that we try and, you know, associate with the great literature of, you know, all the ages. But what I find is that you spend long enough working with those kinds of materials, and it becomes like a meditation or a kind of deep psychological introspection. And it starts to really, it almost predicts the world around you and becomes a very deep form of reflection and contemplation. And so, you know, I have some poems that I'll share with you that are made in that fashion. I'll even maybe read a poem or two from my dissertation, because a part of my dissertation was written as poetry.
I see. One final question. Do you have any advice for budding artists who might be just starting out?
Absolutely. One of the things, and I think it's especially important in Vancouver, to work with people, to network, to set up places and venues where your audience will know to go. So audience building and development is very important. You know, we have the benefit of a very multicultural city. But that also means you have to do a lot of cultural building. You have to build an audience. You have to generate the kind of environment where you will get inspired, not just sitting on your own doing the Emily Dickinson in the garret version of poetry, but where you're really out there and interacting, where you're performing, where you're seeing how your poem is received by all kinds of different people from the general public. And that really helps you as a writer to get information and to use that information in how you want to push your writing forward and how you want to experiment and take on new directions. So you had mentioned that you just interviewed and done a show with Cale Judy.
Yes.
So Cale's a wonderful fellow, and of course you met him in the B.Ed. program. So Cale, along with some colleagues, got together through doing a writing course, and they put together a writers' collective called the Wolf Mountain Collective, which, you know, I have had the joy of, you know, helping along and being a part of. And that kind of thing, I think, really stands out as significant and almost emblematic of a way or an approach to young writers thinking about how am I going to do this. I mean, you need to explore, experiment, set yourselves goals, and, you know, everybody try them and see how it turns out and start collaboratively and collectively publishing and getting your work out there, putting on shows, producing, and really just getting involved, because it makes the poetry current, meaningful, it resonates with people, and you get good feedback, you know, and you really engage with it as a meaningful and active endeavor rather than something that you think is just for the time that you're sitting on your own, you know, overlooking the ocean and waxing poetic. I think the idea is, no, it needs to be in the public arena. It needs to have its place within our lives, and sometimes that means doing unusual radical art events or public art and things like that, and infusing it with a poetic mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Kedrick.
You're welcome.
And coming up in a moment, we are going to be hearing some of Kedrick James's poetry.
Hey there, my name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
Well, he is quite quirky, isn't he? Very. I am now going to speak with my right brain only. Experiment number two. Left brain only. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Which do you prefer?
This is not a little problem. The corpus callosum has snapped. To say nothing of the poet. P is for poem. S is a scroll. You took rubber letters and rolled them on the back of my soul. Oh, how touching. But suddenly, we were confronted with the returns and complaints department. Apparently, it was the wrong letter. It was R. A man from behind the desk observes them being creative. He says in a beautiful voice, "Where do you come from?" And they says, "Nowhere." Okay, we come from the garden of our own lost virtues. Which side of the brain are you on? You choose. A Roman centurion retires and sucks in his gut. We used to stick them on the end of a trivium. Now we just give them a lot of trivia. That's not the worst I can do. The margins are measures of control. I have killed a neuron or two, sidestepping sanity this way and then that way and then this way and then that way. And just like when you're walking down the street, it always seems to take the same choice you do. Sanity and mirrors hold a lot in common. They reflect back to you the kind of reality that you didn't really need to see. Darn, I have become my own paradox. We do not know the figure from the ground, for each is equally radioactive. The listener and the listened to, the gleaner and the gleaned to, the choosing and the chosen to, the future and the forward to, the partner and his garden. They're all a part of the same blood and paradox too.
Hey! On Friday, January 25th, come to Seymour Mountain for the Great Northern Concrete Toboggan Race, an annual event that challenges the creativity, innovation, and technical skills of engineering students from all across Canada. Participating teams must design and construct a toboggan with a metal frame and a running surface made completely out of concrete. For more information, go to gnctr2012.com.
And welcome back to us here at Scalds Hall at CITR 101.9 FM here in lovely UBC at Vancouver. And you are listening to the interview that I did earlier this week with Dr. Kedrick James. And we've had him talk a little bit about his work, and we've had examples of him and his sound poetry. And coming up in just a moment, we're going to be hearing some of his impromptu poetry recitals. And so, stay tuned. So, welcome back here at CITR 101.9 FM and Scalds Hall with Kedrick James.
Hello, Brian. Back again.
Back again. We were gone for so long.
I know.
30 seconds or so ad.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, are we ready?
Let's try it.
Okay.
The first few poems I'll do are spam cut-up poems, otherwise known as spoet. The first one is called Proficius Ascutney. The founder of intermarriages of... The year the ruler went into banishment, and the blue waters of the human soul forbids the sea, only instead of cruelty, corruption, and vice, Tryphena's was deep, bordered on insane. She had her son of the divorce, to have a son to name every branch of the tree which reigned in the royal fat of St. Petersburg, on the other sphere of vice. Therefore, greed is at the top and the bottom of society simultaneously, and thus opened a way of communication. At length, mutilating them in a horrible manner,
She exhibited them to every hand by the vast tropical seas, which load the hot character of the most awful imprecations on the ships. Men by whom the winds can be recorded in almost every code compelled her to recall Lathyrus, as if to complete the exhibition of the brutal organization of the ancient kingdom. However, causes inherent to the blood of Macedon disarmed the whole surface of written law. Her life ebbed away, into which flowed extreme and abominable wickedness. Continual and absolute honor to follow. That's what the country is at length destroyed of. Above the surface of the climate, the proximity of mountains and seas, the apartments of the dreary cling, water falls on Ptolemy incessantly. Dust entered the room. Your breakfast, still warm, clung to used plastic ornaments. With all protest calmly watching? Hate to say so. Drain art that far estranging foam friend, alma mater of all current bondage. Waiting to increase.
Some of these are so short. I should read the short ones, and then they're like spam haiku or spaiku. Hit the road, New Cassio, where my mouth was, in 78 after another testing. Moved to Washington, talked with Pentagon officials, and traveled. The best 150 years on Saturn's moon just seemed to be another regular season. Spent weeks summarizing the results of the Old Dominion contest. Oft times you would do things to endure the pain. Marquez, for his part, sought out 12 rational men by reputation, some he had never met, sought industries of approval, you know, supporters of certain requirements. Messages might be smells of the battlefield posted online. Have workers blog outer space, create our weather and seasons. We are the judges' percussions. Former White House counsel, opponents of President Robert Mugabe. But today was no ordinary day. Smuggling cars into Iraq, red eyes peering out from his hood, TV and radio efficient enough. The energy and the excitement. That wall torn down, eroded away, no one documented it. How could that happen? Soros will give. After the Soviets crush the revolt, Soros to get. Fletcher School of Diplomacy. Soros was hanged before his first meeting with Soros on January 6, 1990. Did not go smoothly. No choice but to award them enough divergence to go wrong. Between reality and perception, your man always comes to the wrong conclusion. Nobody knew about the blind Soros's interest in abstractions. He called this equilibrium. I did not really want every Saturday night the unofficial cultural czar of Hungary, though I got used to the idea. Terrorists get lost on their journey back home, probably would not be in a country. They are now happy to talk that they may play on the strikers. Concluding the letter, Soros cannot determine, not. By June of 1993, Soros was again, this time as a common virus known as hubris. No more identity crises overtook him. Soros seemed satisfied. Soros had parents. Soros had already been chiseled. He added that George Laidlow stuck in the U.S. Mega Millions jackpot. 12 men have been detained. The United Kingdom has frozen all bilateral business, boiling their water.
collective prisons, the participants got to meet several Flemish comedy acts. The second found 100 stray passengers when it attempted to berth. Chirac announces he will not pursue a third. At least 10 can be seen on fire near the site of a few of the passes. I'm sorry to report there has been an autopsy. Make space in that box. Australia was occupied. Palestine was kidnapped and freed later. Even Soros found it hard to function. Soros has little confidence. He had, at first, heavy slogging. It's a cheap price for freedom. Even the name Soros shut down. Very late, the match with whoever goes forward. Animals arrived, liked the look of the place, took up assembly. Care for the mind. Some 120 people, mainly professors, kidnap Americans and Israelis and heads of state. That toxin would have come from Himpens, the art of Ramin.
The interesting thing about some of that is that while I was doing a lot of my research, I think there somebody had just published open access biography of George Soros, the amazing financier who has shaped so much of political history in the late 20th century. And so I had all these countless references to George Soros, which was a really interesting play for me because the name, when said slightly slower, turns into Soros. And so the idea of, you know, here's a book about Soros, which is all the political machinations of global, you know, miscommunication, was a fun idea to play with.
It's interesting. When I was listening to it, I was thinking of Soros, the Greek word for reptile.
Oh, yes, right.
Yes.
Dear flutter of a foolish heart. They entered the kitchen. Slow boy was rapping at the stranger's door, made a rude broke board. Everything is here. And are you satisfied? He answered death with a smile. Truthfully, there might be some objection on paper, friend. It was a rule, all right. In a happy moment, we all want the unanswerable sum. Dot's whole attention during this explosion was on charmed shut-ins. Free from obligations and faithful to the last crime, nobody has been contacted. For it is the great cloudy hum in a filthy town. Forsake this, please, she said. Try not to bet on a serotic old horse. Washed up and the long walk back to spend a restless night philanthropically. At tension, at tend, at twit's end. The most dangerous sex lives, the man who is spread among hot water bottles, discontent man, intolerable to any government, able to think and so is insane almost invariably. He tries continental people, romantic taboo things, comes to the conclusion that the government is dishonest and must tango. And he is not, and if he is, prevailing romantic superstitions are out, for without regard to himself personally, he lives under those who change, as he is apt to. If love is blind, why is lingerie so popular? There is no one else breathing in this little hut, that slender finger coolness of a bus stop neighbor. I desire to alter the coldness of the impossible, to live backwards for a passionate thawing hug, to listen to each other's beats in the deep hollows of anxiously excited intentions, that floor to do it. There is another heart imprisoned, heating system, but far away, with my hands made to want nobody. I can't ignore it there, that which has lived in my chest for future years, frustrating, near, and our hearts are also a part of this. My hand has.
has my. Who am I? Well, it is not my past. My guest was hers. My desire was to apply myself to some sort of calm prophetic agony. I infer that poisoning is not always in. Well said, that's lucky, for I should like it too. Until she hangs up, keep acrostics handy, telephone the chalkboard, and hold your salesman. Keep a small fingernail phone near. That way you can hold up the Near East when handy, and when he calls you can chalk it up, run receiver, run to the tip, the salesman, board the phone, receive your nail until it hangs. That small call away to your can lit. Another fruitcake hole puncher finds my suitable, subtle inferiority overripe for a language sheriff, makes me for the bartender complex, or takes me, finds faults with the rattlesnake corporation, feverishly makes love to the turkey, and the turnkey goes somewhat deep sea fishing with a corporation of living defendants. The optimal.
Awesome. Join Jason on a spiritual and musical journey to becoming relentlessly awesome every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. only on CITR. By the way, you're awesome.
Fairy defined by a reactor, hardly a photon around that is mean-spirited, made America great, a graduated movie theater that becomes a nation of pit vipers, a roller coaster support group, the scheduled morning staff meeting, the knowingly statesmanlike inductance of beer, and now and then a moronic recliner over a bottle secretly admires the movie theater, inexorably blown away by a pickup truck or dolphin, a grisly tornado with the scythe from a grand piano, steals pencils and stencils, buries the paper napkin that we may have pervasive, perverse satisfaction, if at all possible. What I get is the shock of my life. Some turn signal meditates. My news station immediately, I am totally shutting down. The photon underhandedly recognizes that. I am American, so I hired a new news director. I get a call, go back to work, go south to hear cheese grits earn another tomato frequent flyer miles. Now all I need to do is the surgery. I am to fully recover from ambiguity on July 26th, 4:35 a.m., when the tabloid is laid bare, when you see it from behind the cylinder, for example, a submarine, a stovepipe, a safe cracker's revered ear, rings, and some CEO behind the turkey living overwhelmingly with a chessboard ready to go back to work Friday if there is a fundraiser Thursday. I need to try another living before a carpet attack I organize just to attend arrives expecting a warranty from me, the sheriff. Furthermore, a Dane seldom teaches a crook. Instead, lazily, some burglars go back to work, read from a polygon photon magazine, because it indicates, indeed derives meaning from, the burglar with a well-defined scam. Is that me and who I am? Protest the restoration of democracy. King Gyanendra's paperwork cages smell of absolute power and privilege. perch on the gross national bottom line, the critical weapons of the Himalayan nation with backgrounds in the demanding rallies office, watch Mickey White Mouse Social Security hold daily protests in Kathmandu in the days leading up to the urine house mats. One-way callers take her to the bank. The balustrade she knows well parades by. We're definitely going to get flooding from Uzbekistan to 320 Main Street. A baby slept in a small bed with two girls used mattress to tour developed countries. One boy slept for 3 years in snow. I hope a voice at the global table you need will stay with friends, and 48% saw the creation of a long desire to end their search. The rivers swell from the storm's surge, and you need to get out and take notes with open minds and the rebels' agreement to build Gulf City inside the Gulf Coast. Women, casual gamers, those unwilling to spend hours playing games, see Africa flourish. It's magnificent, and it has so much precedent. In foreign law, you can find anything you want to support your own views on the ABC morning show in Kenya with the UN advisor and MTV economist. I have been placed on Capitol Hill, Spelling said, contracted to build a large desert sprawl next to the children of Huron County with foster doctors and the benighted director of Job and Family Services. And quiet else stem missed else dog. But light as pin or voice attack is knowledge to humor parcel as quality. Too possible as dry test fair farm is fiction, but thick pipe is needle eye. Our song to present birth are fish and balance as kind sheep must fruit. To sun is bucket as thread thumb. Is wing but self as tall as food, if dust to meat in fact but test, else boiling but test the ant's suggestion. Is dirty the potato, school the girl, else true is sex pump if fork but see as pleasure is red, else throat, else comparison to kiss, sleep and lock, else chain if light is harmony too. If year and needle clothe, vent, or stitch, then stretch, oh stretch, but stretch is. The table took opinion away from the leg, the bomb, bomb, silver bomb, the bomb, bomb, silver bomb. The table rid of size and the air of Mars, bomb, bomb, sliver bomb, 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 sliver bomb. There were no churches, balls bring in the afternoon, the bomb, bomb, a silver bomb, the bomb, bomb, silver bomb. The peevish sank into an easy chair of mist, and the poor with a group of nervous saws go bomb, bomb, sliver bomb, 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 the sliver bomb. Inexplicably and additionally, a post person can live on the large world face to face, at which point we are the media, virtually the vital blood, and advertising became easy to think of. Children, starting with the avant-garde, have been able to recreate all the possibilities with colors never used, can learn, generalize, and hypothesize, paint huge parameters using the same future brush as fear rears at a younger age. Unlimited serial communication native. Network news groups on the street today would gather at some spot sheltered by umbrellas where electronic media have never been. Locations with minimal alternative networks are easier to continually forget. Huh? What? The chaos technology provides actual life forms. If pretty technology dominates the masses' editions, people could disappear in many different galleries. It'll be a personal computer. Artificial people are prevalent. The life of the program becoming more of an artwork, not of our conventional interpretation. Its will, resources, the files that researchers believe are viewed anywhere that they who question the tool cost a painter not accomplishing his or her will. may, could do that and do those too. Theory is the medium. Its unusual head qualifies for newer model VR paper, as the objective is less to watch TV than to manipulate the need to conceive an idea. As for an assumption that in education active semiotic democracy has stability, A is printed when I look amusing to a couple hundred children. Then it will be accepted by the generations. Then ones do a lot of eliminating to investigate the creation of symbolism. Most hadn't bothered to find out its use as the medium for his or her leisure, a little more decentralized communication, something key to forms which cannot end. I decided it is through enjoyable ex-documents this decentralization can be. Instruments of me and things are but given then to satisfy. To the programs also leaving while on watch, I expect to be the system today. Computers can be new computers, but systems can be anything. Don't. It hasn't meant new capabilities yet.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Skulls Hall with your host, Brian McDonald of the Clan Ranald. And why do I say that? It is because today is still Sir Robert Burns Day. The National Poet of Scotland was born today on January 25th in 1754, I think. I'll have to look that up again. But in the 1750s, and he was a very wonderful poet whose work has survived to this very day, probably most well known for Auld Lang Syne right now. And if you live near a Scottish-themed community, you will know that this is a very important day. In my old alma mater of St. Francis Xavier, this was a very, very important holiday, and people would go out, there was a formal dinner on campus, and lots of stuff would go and happen. In Scotland, even more so. And I have a couple of announcements that I am going to repeat. The first is, there are now, as of right now, just 3 hours and change left for you to vote in the student elections. They were running all this week, and they're done Friday, which is today, January 25th, 2013, at 5 p.m. If you have not done so, I urge you to do it, because even though I know that UBC can sometimes feel like a giant city more than a community, it is kind of important. It is really important, because they do a lot of things like try to make sure all of the construction that's going on is for our benefit. They try to do things like make sure that we continue to get our U-passes, which without of which we will end up paying 3 to 5 times as much as we currently do in order to come to and from campus, which for people who live on campus makes it hard to get into the city. For people who live in city, makes it hard to get onto campus. And remember, there's no such thing as parking out here either. So if you want the U-Pass to survive, it needs to get a certain number of votes before 5 o'clock today. And I'm not certain how many or how close they are, but let's not take chances. There are quite a few of us around, and let's vote. And for if you're wondering who the candidates are, none of them are from my department, as far as I can tell. It's hard to know them personally, but there are some interesting bios. It's as good a way as any to choose people for the right person for the job. In the professional world, you often do quite the same thing. I urge you to at least take a look at it. You can just log in. You've probably been getting emails if UBC's got an email address that's still active. Take a look. Go onto the UBC website. It's a pretty easy process. I urge you to go through with it. Secondly, and probably less earth-shatteringly, but important enough for the show nonetheless, next week, Friday, February 1st, 2013, UBC's very own CITR 101.9 FM will be covering live a teach-in that is going on in the Longhouse, which is, interestingly enough, just across the street from my department of LLED, I believe, if it's that Longhouse. Because there's at least that one. That's the one I know. And that sounds like it's going to be a very interesting thing to tune into. I urge you to take a listen. However, what that means is Scalds Hall will not be broadcasting next week, Friday, February 1st. Our next broadcast will be the week after that, which should be February 8th. Yes. It will be Friday, February 8th, will be the next edition of Scalds Hall here at CITR 101.9 FM. And the likelihood is our next guest will be Wolf Mountain Group's very own Mr. Judy, who Kedrick James mentioned in the interview, which is why I left it in. KL Judy will be on the show. He's already come in for the interview, which is why we mentioned it as having already been done. And we're going to be able to hear his work. He is one of the people behind the creative spearhead of the Wolf Mountain Group. He's also a budding poet, a budding short story writer, a soon-to-be novelist, and a sometime screenwriter. And so we're going to get quite a variety of readings for next week from Mr. KL Judy. And hopefully that will be the first of a sort of mini-series of readers from the Wolf Mountain Group. If not consecutively throughout February, then at least within a reasonable time frame of each other. And we're also going to be having on other guests on the show. For example, we're going to have on Mr. Brian Wade, who was on CITR 101.9 FM in the last hour with Rosemary and with their creative writing classes, with their students' radio plays, which were performed live, interestingly enough, right here. And that's the sort of thing that we here on Scalds Hall are all about. So we're going to talk a little bit about the process that went into creating those plays in a little bit more depth. And also, hopefully, in the coming weeks, we're going to have a chance to replay those here on Scalds Hall. So if you tuned in this week and heard this week's broadcast at noon, between noon and 12:30, and you would like to hear the other half, we're going to have that. If you tuned in last week but missed the noon broadcast today, we're going to have that other half. And if you haven't heard either at all and are listening to this from the future on my podcast, then we're going to have both. So that's very likely going to be happening sometime in the upcoming month of February, hopefully. One other announcement, something that I've been meaning to mention almost every week but haven't had a chance to until right about now, and that is I am involved in a drama as well. And it's not just me, because I don't do one-man shows besides, well, this one, but it is the Vagabond Theatres production. That group, which is a wonderful group that's based out of Burnaby, the New Westminster Theatre in Burnaby, the Burnie Leg Theatre, we are going to be doing a theatrical interpretation of Fawlty Towers. Yes, the Fawlty Towers, spearheaded creatively by John Cleese back in the 1970s. We have taken that and we're going to dramatize Fawlty Towers for your viewing pleasure. It's going to premiere February 28th at the Burnie Leg Theater, and it's going to run Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and Sunday matinees from February 28th until March 23rd. And that looks like it's going to be a very good time. And I encourage anyone out there who loves live theater to go out and see it. And I'm hoping that I can get some of my castmates on the show to talk about it either before or during its run, just to give you a little bit of a hint as to what you can expect if you come down and see it. But I can tell you right now that it is a wonderful production. We're really getting off the ground, and you'll have loved to have come and seen it. I mean, you can't go wrong with Fawlty Towers. You really can't. So, coming up next, we have Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. They will be up next, but in the meantime, I will be signing off here at Skulls Hall. So have a wonderful Friday, have a wonderful weekend, and have a wonderful Robbie Burns Day. If you're in Scotland and listening to this, it's 10 o'clock at night. It's time to start the party, if you know what I mean. Adios.